Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get
on up! Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us on 980 AM. And if you're listening on iTunes, I appreciate it via podcast or at the website, grillnationshow.com. Going to have a great show today. Hope you're having a great week. I want to thank our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show before we get to our contributing guest today, guest co-host, and the guest that he brought in. Title sponsors of the show are MoBank, BOK Financial, Trusts, and Two West Companies. Contributors to the Grill Nation Show include the KCADC, the Kansas City Area Development Council, Port KC, and Brian Sarf with True Wealth & Company. He is joining me today as a guest co-host. He's an on-air contributor to the Grill Nation Show. Brian, welcome to the show. I want to have you introduce our guest. It's going to be a fun show. We're going to learn a lot today, and I think it's a first for Grill Nation. We have our first doctor on the show.
There you go.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to learn a lot today.
I'm glad to be here.
Great to see you.
Love to bring interesting guests on that we can introduce to the listening audience and talk about topics that are certainly on your mind. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to talk about healthcare. We're going to talk about being a concierge doctor, which is my doctor, Dr. Troy Burns. I've been with Dr. Burns since 2001 and watched his practice evolve quite wonderfully. He's been ahead of the curve for a long time here in town. You probably heard his commercials if you listen to KMBZ, but he has a fantastic practice called Pro Partners Healthcare. Mm-hmm. They're really on the forefront of direct primary care service to individuals and to businesses. And Dr. Burns has been a fixture here in Kansas City for a long time. And I just welcome you to the show, Dr. Burns. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Interested to get the services that you provide, how you run your business and the benefits that you bring to the table for individuals that are looking for someone to provide direct family care for them and for their family.
Yeah. I mean, our practice is really a primary care family practice. It's the practice model and the way that it gets paid for that's really different, that makes it frankly better in terms of access and quality of care.
What I love about it is we were just talking before the show aired, I had a sinus infection on a Saturday, and normally you'd have to go into one of the minute clinics or you have to tough it out till Monday morning, and then maybe you get in to see the doctor, maybe you don't on Monday. But you know, I was able to send you a text on Saturday night about 10 o'clock. Sunday morning, I wake up at, 6 a.m. There's a note, hey, your antibiotics and medicine's been called into CVS. If you don't feel good by Wednesday, come and see me in the office. And my wife would she said, that's ridiculous that you have that service from your doctor. And that's what I love about the model that you have.
Yeah, I mean, direct primary care is exactly what it sounds like, right? You have direct access 24/7 to your personal physician. And that certainly is not something that is happening everywhere else in healthcare. You know, we always used to say that we don't really have a health care crisis in the United States. We have a health insurance crisis, which I think is still true.
Yes.
But at this point, we're starting to have a primary care crisis in the sense that the access to your primary physician who knows your history and knows what to do for you is getting more and more difficult because the demands on those primary physicians are getting greater and greater. You know, if there are any that are still left in private practice in a traditional insurance-based model, They have to see 25 patients plus per day just to keep the lights on. And most of the time they end up saying this is too difficult, and they sell to the hospitals, and then they're employees of the hospital. And the hospitals, of course, tend to drive how busy they are. And then you just don't have good access. You may wait mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks for an appointment, or you end up seeing, if you're lucky, one of the other physicians or one of the mid-level nurse practitioner, physician's assistant providers, or you end up at the urgent care clinic or somewhere else if you can get in. So you either get well on your own, or you die, I guess,
or you find
yeah. someplace yeah. else to get into a doctor. And that's exactly why people choose us to be their physician, because they're guaranteed 24/7 access, same day appointments. They can call, text, email directly to their personal physician anytime they want to.
So when you made this transition, this was a big decision for you. I remember you wrestled with it for a while, because you're one of the first in town to make the jump. When you first stopped taking health insurance across the board, which is ridiculous, right? There's a doctor that doesn't take health insurance.
Wow.
And that is a complete paradigm shift, because you always think, I have to have health insurance to see a doctor. Well, not true. Mm-hmm. And I know the second part was how many of your clients would follow and stay with you when you made the transition. Mm-hmm. And so talk through that. What did you see mm-hmm. that was a void in the marketplace that you felt you could fill? And then talk about the decision moving to direct primary care.
Yeah, I suppose the void is that there is a shortage of primary care providers. And just, you know, that's the reason why they end up being such high volume, you know, never have time for you. You know, you wait 3 weeks for an appointment, you wait an hour in the waiting room for 5 minutes with the doctor, and feel rushed the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so that's it's the lack of satisfaction with care and with access that had really spurred the whole direct primary care industry. And frankly, in the old days of medicine, right, old Doc Brown, you'd pay him a chicken and he'd deliver your baby. You know, that's how it was. And in a lot of ways, direct primary care is a reiteration of that concept, where by putting a third party middleman of insurance companies in between the patient and the primary care physician, the estimates are that it adds an extra 30 to 40 cents on every dollar that's paid for primary care services goes into that relationship between the physician and the insurance company, right? The physician practices have to have overhead in order to go chase the dollars from the insurance companies and get the insurance companies to pay.
Yes.
And insurance companies have overhead to try to keep the doctors from getting paid in a timely manner and play the float to some degree. And then they, of course, want to make a profit margin. And so if you carve out all of that expense, the cost of primary care services drops dramatically. And if you pay me directly and I take care of you, the volume of patients I need to see and my overhead to go chase the insurance reimbursement, as well as the overhead required just because of the volume of care and the way that things need to be documented in order to justify to the insurance that you get paid, all of that goes away.
So you have a doctor who's less stressed, who has less pressure on overhead to meet numbers. They have to see fewer patients to break even, to make a profit, if you will, as a business. And you get faster care, and you're going to get phenomenal advice. And to me, it seems like that's a no-brainer model that you would want to have for that primary care marketplace, because we all know what we complain about going to the doctor. And it's what you said earlier. I show up early. I wait 45 minutes late past my appointment. I get 4 minutes with the doctor, and I get 10 minutes with a nurse practitioner, and I'm out of there. Mm-hmm. And I can only deal with one issue at a time. And if I bring up a second issue, I got to set another appointment to come
right.
back.
That's
I
right.
can't do another one.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, we're going to go to break here. I really appreciate Dr. Troy Burns joining us and Brian Sarr from True Wealth & Company. We'll be right back on the Grill Nation Show.
Magic in the air.
Hello and welcome back to the Grill Nation show here at 980 AM. And I appreciate you joining us as well on iTunes via podcast and on our website, grillnationshow.com, where you can find all of our partners and supporters as well as all of our shows and photos of each and one of our guests each and every week. We appreciate you going to the website at grillnationshow.com. We also appreciate you checking out Dr. Troy Burns at propartnershealthcare.com, who's joining us today alongside Brian Sarf, who is with a True Wealth and Company, a great company here in Kansas City. Their website is retirewithtrue.com. Brian, we want to focus on the doctor's background, experience, education, how he got to be a doctor in this segment. So I want to let you lead it off here.
So Dr. Burns, who was it in your life, or what happened in your life that, you know, that motivated you to be a doctor in the medical field, to really serve and take care of your patients? What was it that gave you that push?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I can isolate it down to one specific thing, but I was a good student and found it pretty easy to memorize material and get the information in my brain. And probably the best decision I made as a teenager was to listen to my father, who said, studying jazz trombone and being a musician was probably not a good way to support your family and ensure that you'd be able to take care of yourself. So he said, go get an education and then do whatever you want. And so I was one of those who, at the time growing up in St. Louis, it was early on in the process of UMKC's 6-year medical program. And so as a junior in high school, I was applying to medical school, and lo and behold, I got in. And so, then the question.
You go, now what?
Yeah. Yeah, at that
so then
point,
you're in St. Louis and coming to Kansas City.
That's exactly right. I've been here ever since. So that was 1980 that I started medical school. And, once you're in medical school, you say, well, I guess I should just not flunk out. And so obviously I enjoyed the material, and you do have to, as I always tell my son and mention to you guys, you don't have to be that brilliant to be a physician. You just have to have an iron backside and sit there and study and study and study. And so you do have to have you have to be interested in the material and interested in helping people ultimately. But, being out in practice is frankly much more rewarding than the education process, at least for me. My son's in medical school, and he's much more of a student than I am. I think he's one of these competitive learners who has to know everything there is to know about a particular subject, whereas I, as a generalist, right, as a primary care physician, I want to know a little bit about everything, mm-hmm. and be able to connect the dots for people and help. And, frankly, the most enjoyable part of my job and the part that's the most challenging is communicating with patients and educating them and influencing their lifestyle choices. That kind of thing is much more challenging and rewarding to me than just making a medical diagnosis, which, I think is being pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. How many years does it take? Just a basic question here for your son to go through med school residency to actually become a doctor.
Yeah,
that's a question that I think a lot of people, because you mentioned the 6-year program at UMKC, that was pretty, right. Pretty unique, I think.
Yes.
Back then, when
yes,
it came about,
absolutely. Yeah. It started in the early 70s, mm-hmm. and so I can't remember how many years they built up from a very small class of 20 or 30 students to my year was the first year that they kind of maxed out at 100 students. Mm-hmm. But it's unusual. There are only a couple of 6-year programs, and it was a combined BA MD program. So we were going back and forth between medical classes and undergraduate type, arts and sciences classes, and went to school year round. And while all my high school buddies were getting summer vacations, I was still studying. So that was kind of a non-traditional route. Mm-hmm. The traditional route is 4 years of undergraduate in whatever, some kind of a bachelor's degree in something, and then 4 years of medical school, followed by some amount of residency, which is usually a minimum of 3 years and goes as long as people want to continue to subspecialize in things. They can continue to take residencies and fellowships in all kinds of specialty areas. Mm. And what we're seeing these days is that primary care is not a highly desirable specialty. And so that's the real area of opportunity for what I do in direct primary care, is to fill a gap that is only increasing at this point.
Mm. What does that gap look like over time as we look forward into the future of the shortage of medical professionals that we continue to hear about?
Yeah, there's already a shortage of primary care physicians, and the estimates that I've read suggest that by 2025, that the shortage of primary care physicians, which is family practice, internal medicine, pediatrics, that those will be in the area around 55,000 physicians, a shortage
That's
of
ridiculous.
Primary care.
That's
and
ridiculous.
So what that obviously means is it's going to be difficult to have a primary physician that you have access to when you need them. And it's much more likely that your primary care will be taken care of by mid-level providers, physicians, mm-hmm. assistants, and nurse practitioners.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, as part of my business and in investing, I've always studied the boomers, and I followed them forever. Now I'm beginning to study the millennials because their spending habits are starting to drive certain things in the economy,
right.
and healthcare is on both ends. The millennials are having kiddos.
Right.
And then, you know, they're a larger generation than the boomers. So they're probably going to have, you know, the number of kids they're going to have is either going to replace themselves or maybe the next generation will be a little bit larger.
Right.
So there's a demand on the medical system right there with all the kids and all of the preventative care and the proactive care that all the moms want to have with their kids. And then you have the other end of the boomers that are their average age about 62, 63.
Right.
I know from a lot of the clients I have that are, you know, in their late 60s, early 70s, they tend to start having a lot of knee replacements and hip replacements and back issues and cataracts and shoulder surgeries and all sorts of things that are in their life. And now they have Medicare and they can go use that. You know, and the boomers, as they progress forward, we still have 60% of boomers that aren't on Medicare yet that are coming. And so that's really going to put a stress on the Medicare side. We've all seen all the buildings in town of all the quick clinics that are popping up.
Right.
That, you know, St. Luke's is putting them in town and HCA's got them in town and CVS and everybody else. And we still have a shortage with this demand as it comes through. And it's amazing the evolution we're going to see in healthcare, I think, over the next, you know, decade or two. And it's going to take all these people hitting the system for massive change to happen.
Well, as all that demand increases, you have the baby boomer doctors are retiring or calling it quits because it's more trouble than it's worth these days. And
mine just retired recently. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and of course, the millennial, the med students aren't being attracted to primary care for those same reasons.
So is that because they just want to specialize, you know, in a certain thing like radiology or you name it? Why do they make that decision? Because they think it's more lucrative.
Currently, primary care physicians make significantly less money than all of the specialists do,
mm-hmm.
and they work harder and they work faster. I guess I would say, you know, as far as the number of hours, it may not be a whole lot different, but as far as they aren't seeing 25 or 30 patients a day in specialty care. They're not having to pump through them quite the same way.
Mm. Makes sense. Maybe millennials don't work as hard, huh?
I guarantee you they do.
Yeah.
Every generation thinks the one behind them doesn't
work
as hard as they
You're
do.
Right.
And then when you see what comes out of it and the amazing changes in evolution that we're having now, I mean, the robotics, I think, will continue to have a big impact in the healthcare field. AI is going to have a huge impact. We're just beginning to see that. Plus all the stem cell research, plus add up all the things that are out there in the marketplace. When they're able to grow organs in a lab, for God's sakes. And, you know, if you need a new kidney, why, here, we'll get you a new filter. You know, it's like a quick oil change. You know, you pop in, get your new filter and go. and it really is going to be that ridiculous as we go forward that the abilities are there now. It's in small quantities, very controlled instances, but it means that they're looking at it for, you know, mass use in the society that you can, you know, get that kind of help when you need it. And so those changes are coming at a pretty good clip.
Yeah. Doctor, Brian mentioned off air that you started kind of as a men's focused organization. That was pretty unique at the time, very entrepreneurial. Tell us about that. Cause I think that was kind of unique that you were really focused on male patients.
Yeah. Where I, in 1988, I started with a practice that was focused on, with a urologist and a clinical psychologist, helping men that had sexual dysfunction.
Okay.
Used to be called impotence. Now you hear all about these ED clinics around and things like that. Well, we were around doing that a long, long time ago before Viagra existed, and there were other very effective treatments for these kinds of problems. And You know, what I learned going into Men's Health is, you know, guys don't like to go to the doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Unless they, you know, they cut their finger off in the lawnmower or they have a sexual problem, then they're going to come to the doctor. And, you know, back in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, I'd ask, well, when's the last time you had a good checkup or it went, you know, had a physical exam? And they'd say World War II, you know, or Vietnam, I guess, after a little bit, but, and so for me, the recognition was there's a real opportunity here if we can bring them in the door for whatever reason to talk some sense into them and do preventive screening and to talk about lifestyle and give them access to a primary care physician that they trust, that we can actually not just help their love life, but we can actually save their lives and make them live longer. And so that was, for me, Pro Partners, when we initially started in 2001, when we met Brian, was focused on primary care for men, mm-hmm. preventive health, and executive health. And so we did a lot of these executive Mayo Clinic type physicals and did primary care for men. And then over those years, it was obvious that the insurance based model was not going to be effective, you know, viable for me and for my patients. It was very frustrating that when I was seeing 25 patients a day that they couldn't get in.
Very interesting stuff here today. Dr. Troy Burns with ProPartnersHealthcare.com. Brian Sarf, a guest host and on-air contributor to the Grill Nation show from RetireWithTrue.com. You're listening to the Grill Nation show. We'll be right back. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Hello and welcome back to the Grill Nation show. Thanks for listening today on 980 AM and via podcast on iTunes or on the website grillnationshow.com. I'm Jason Grill. I'm your host. You can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill. Today we're joined by Brian Sarf, who's with True Wealth and Company, great company here in Kansas City. He joins me each and every month as a guest host and on-air contributor. The website for him is retirewithtrue.com. Check it out. He brings in a great guest each and every month, as I mentioned. And this month, we again have Dr. Troy Burns, who's a physician, president and medical director of Pro Partners Healthcare. Their website is very simple, propartnershealthcare.com. Fascinating conversation of his background and what's going on in direct primary care these days. And Brian, I'm going to let you lead off. I know we want to start talking about how the doctor and his business kind of interact with businesses around Kansas City and how they can help.
Yeah, I think, it's always a huge expense for a business owner is figuring out healthcare for their employees. Because people get sick, people get diagnosed with different conditions. You have babies, you have wrecks, you have all these other things, plus the preventative care that go along with it. And so as a business, when you decide to self-insure, because you're tired of really the expensive, plans that you have available through the healthcare system. I've been interested to hear what you've been doing for those business owners that are self-insuring, that are a couple of years in, that are looking at all their bills and saying, you know, there has to be a better way than this, because this is not as effective as I thought it was going to be.
We tell people, you know, every business is in the healthcare business, right? If you look at your expense, you know, line items, it's behind payroll. It's usually the second or third most expensive line item in the budget is everything that is health care related, you know, health benefits. And, you know, not just for self-insured companies, but the self-insured companies have already made the jump to realizing that insurance is really expensive and that, paying the third party that markup on things is sometimes not in their best interest. And so the companies that have already made the jump to self-insurance, they get to see all their claims data. So they know where their money's going, you know, what they're paying for. And so we come in after, you know, a company has been self-insured for a couple of years and they're maybe not seeing the savings they were expecting to see. And what we let them know is that we can alter that trajectory by installing a unlimited access to direct primary care on the front end, because what happens is we decrease the unnecessary, expensive overutilization of services. And you've been the recipient of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But for what are the services that are overused, or you know, that you find that are really pushing those costs out of the comfort zone of the business owner?
Well, you know, one example would be if someone can't get access to their primary care physician when they need to, then they are much more likely to end up in the emergency room or in urgent care clinics or at specialists, because that's the way they have to do something, and they're frustrated with not getting in to see the primary physician. So, for example, what happens if somebody cuts their finger? Well, they go to the emergency room and they write a check for $1,500 for sewing up a simple laceration. Patients of ours, I sew you up and say, see you later. And you just saved, you know, a year or two's worth of membership fees in one day. And so all the rest then is gravy.
Yeah. And I've been the beneficiary of that, of just being able to use the services in your office, that I'm not having to pay out of pocket. I don't have a copay. I don't have any more money. I just have to schedule time to come in and have it all taken care of.
Yes. People overpay for visits with specialists because they can't get in to see primary care. They overpay for lab work because the rack rate, even after it's been adjusted by the third party administrators and the insurance plans, is still three times as much as what we charge for lab work that we have negotiated prices. X-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, those are things that negotiated cash prices are dramatically less than what an employer or and or an employee have to pay for.
Well, I remember the first time I had to get my lab work done, I had to pay for my blood work. And I remember Becky telling me, you got to pay for that. And I was wondering, what's that going to cost me? And I got the bill and I was expecting it to be, you know, $50-$60, and it was $16.22 or somewhere like that. And I just thought that's ridiculous of what I've always seen it charged at and what it actually costs.
Yes.
Because I pay what you pay.
Yeah. In the short term, the way that direct primary care decreases costs is by keeping people out of the emergency room and away from specialists and from overspending on things. And, you know, since our physicians, you know, our practice gets paid a flat monthly fee for unlimited access to everything we do, essentially, we are aligned with the patient that there's absolutely no reason to overutilize unnecessary services, right? Mm-hmm. We don't get paid more. We make nothing on lab work. We make nothing on X-rays that we send out. And so there's no reason for, you know, we're no reason to order anything that isn't necessary. And then down the road, the way that people save money and employers save money is that we can influence preventive care. They're more, you know, being easily able to get in to see your primary physician means you're more likely to do preventive screenings when you should. So you're less likely to be diagnosed down the road with a metastatic cancer or, you know, have significant heart disease because you didn't get the screening done in a timely manner. And then research has also shown that people who have a relationship with a primary physician are more likely to make those healthy lifestyle changes that actually decrease disease.
I remember, a couple of years ago, my dad had to have open heart surgery. And, you know, when the doctor came in to talk to us, he said, you know, when I had to do the third bypass, it took me a while to find somewhere to sew it on because there's so much calcification in my dad's heart from all the years when he smoked, being at Vietnam and that. And as a kid. And so I was worried that, do I have that same condition? And so you sent me over to St. Luke's. I did the $50 heart scan, went through it all and found nothing really at this point in time I have to be worried about, which is awesome. But I love what you said was, this is just the first scan. We'll see in 3 or 4 years, the second one, if there's any progression, and then now we have, you know, now we have a stake in the sand and we can kind of see where that progresses and how you provide, you know, that type of services, of removing those worries without having to spend thousands of dollars to go in and do a full, you know, full scan and a full checkup.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are, you're growing, right? And you guys have some news and some exciting things happening with your business and this model. Tell us about that. I know you're looking at new locations.
Yeah, we're within a few weeks of having a second location. Our original location is in Leawood. College and Row, and we are about to open a second location up by the airport at I-29 and Tiffany Springs Parkway.
Great.
And we'll be open, we'll be within, at least by the 1st of April at the latest.
Did you have some business clients that drove you that way?
We have a couple of clients that are up north that was a reason that we chose that location. And but our 5-year plan is to have 5 or 6 small offices all around town. And, you know, as you might imagine, I'll go in and talk to companies and they'll say, wow, this sounds like a great concept. You know, you'll be able to save us money, offer this premier, you know, access kind of concierge type service for our employees. They're all going to love it. So we've got 400 employees all over town. Where are your locations? And so telling people that live in Platte City or in, you know, Lawrence or Independence that they need to drive to College and Row, although some of our patients are farther away than that.
Yes.
Some are in Florida and they still use our service because we do so much over the phone or by email or text. Certainly it would be, advantageous for our growth and convenience for our corporate clients to be able to have locations that they can get to quickly.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's really cool. And I think you guys have been a leader in this industry. I mean, I'm learning so much on the show, even to the point where people have this direct primary care, but then maybe they have a insurance for catastrophic injuries in case, you know, I do get hit by a car.
Yes, we won't do your your bypass surgery in our little doctor's office. The catastrophic stuff is still important, but the nice thing about, you know, 90% of all medical needs that someone will have in a given year can be handled by primary care physicians, mm-hmm. which means you can go with a catastrophic type plan or something that has a higher deductible, lower premiums, and you'll as an individual or a family, you can save as much as you pay us. I mean, we basically are the cost of a cell phone bill. You know, it's very cheap to have unlimited access to your own private physician. And that's, you know, that's true for employers can change the structure of their insurance. And basically this direct primary care front end pays for itself right away.
What I love about it for a business is that if you can have a high deductible plan for the catastrophic that you mentioned, Jason, and then you can have Dr. Burns serve as your direct primary care physician for, you know, the amount per month you pay based on your age. To have that unlimited care, then you're able to contribute to an HSA, the health savings account, and that's a phenomenal account to have money in because at age 65, you're able to use that for retirement if you don't spend it on healthcare. So you have the budget, you put the money aside, it's sitting there. You know, it's the premiums you would have paid, if you will, to your health insurance, but you're not. You're putting it into your account that you hold on to. You get to run that through HSA Bank. We link that up with TD Ameritrade to HSA Bank, and we invest those dollars for our clients in the market, so they're growing, and they're growing for them versus just sitting in a cash bank account making, you know, nothing in 1 or 2%. We'll do that long-term investment plan for them, put that money in. If they ever need it for anything catastrophic, they can pull it out and use it. If they don't need it, then we'll just leave it where it is, and then at 65, they can use that money for retirement if they haven't spent it. Mm. And it really gives them a lot of option and more control of your healthcare costs instead of just sending everything to the insurance company or to all the expensive medical bills you may have. It stays in your pocket.
Very innovative. And we're learning a lot here on the show today. Dr. Troy Burns, really appreciate you coming on the show today. Obviously, Brian Sarf with True Wealth and Company. We're talking about direct primary care today on the Grill Nation show, propartnershealthcare.com. For more information, we have one segment left, guys. We'll be right back after the break with more of Dr. Troy Burns here on Grill Nation. Welcome back to the Grill Nation show. I'm Jason Grill, your host here at 980 AM, or if you're listening on podcasts via iTunes or on our website, grillnationshow.com, where you can find a list of all of our partners and supporters. I'm joined today by guest host and on-air contributor to the show. He joins me each and every month, Brian Sarf, who is the president of True Wealth and Company. The website is retirewithtrue.com. Our guest today has been Dr. Troy Burns from Pro Partners Healthcare. Their website is propartnershealthcare.com. Brian, we're going to talk about some more fascinating stuff on this segment. I've learned a lot on this show. I appreciate you bringing Dr. Troy Burns on. So I'm going to hand it over to you, and we're going to talk more about the great things that Dr. Troy Burns does in his practice.
So it's been fun visiting with you today, Dr. Burns. A different setup for us, you know, than normally coming into your office.
Much more pleasant, right?
Isn't it more fun? Yeah. A lot more fun to come and visit here and talk. I've just been fascinated with the growth of your business, the growth of your practice, you know, the entrepreneurial focus that you have in providing care, not only to men, but now it's to men, women, and children, to families in town. And I want to know what's next as you look forward and you expand across Kansas City. What's next for you? What's the next piece on the innovation, you know, horizon that you see coming?
Well, you know, for our practice, we feel like the model that we have provides great value to individuals, to any person or family that is looking for better access to care, better primary care with a relationship with a doctor that has time for them and knows them. But it's all, there's, since the vast majority of people in this country get their insurance through their employer, we feel like there's a real opportunity to reach employers with this model and show them how providing a front end of a direct primary care, better access to primary care, is better for their employees and actually can save them money. And so in order to do that, we are planning to expand locations and to focus on presenting our case to employers.
Mm-hmm. What are the major reasons that individuals or businesses choose to work with you?
Well, you know, we've talked about off the air about the triple aim of healthcare. You know, in general, healthcare reform really focuses on and should focus on three things. You know, number one is actually improved patient experience or customer service, which we know is pretty lousy in healthcare a lot of times in terms of being able to access what you need when you need it. And so that increase in access or patient satisfaction with care is huge. And the direct primary care model, you know, provides that in spades. And number two is improving the health of populations, whether that's the workforce at a particular company or a population of diabetics or a population within a community. And so the improved access actually does that as well. And then the third of the triple aim is actually decreasing cost. And we've already kind of talked a little bit about how we do that. And we do it by decreasing that unnecessary overutilization of services by encouraging people in healthy lifestyle and encouraging them to get timely screening.
You hit the nail on the head there. Preventative care, right?
Absolutely.
That's what we won't do because, man, I got to go to the doctor. I got to pay out of my pocket. You know, I got to pay my premium. I got to pay my copay.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm sick. Maybe I'll just fight through it.
Those hindrances lead to procrastination. You know, one of the things I've, you know, said on the radio over the last 20 years in this town, I think, is, you know, what's the number one killer in the United States? Well, it's not heart disease. It's procrastination. It's not getting preventive screenings. It's not making lifestyle changes and doing the kind of responsible thing from a health standpoint.
Mm, that's been so overlooked in our society, no matter how you look at it. Preventative care, it needs more spending. It needs to be, but people need to think about it more as the generations go on.
The businesses you work with, what do you find they save when they engage with you and bring you on board for providing your direct primary care?
You know, our experience here, as well as the experience of other similar practices over, you know, over time that have implemented direct primary care with employers, they'll see a decrease in overall healthcare costs for the company of 20% to 30%.
That's pretty significant.
Huge. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Huge.
What size companies are you working with? Entrepreneurs, startups, mid-size, large corporations, just so people know.
We have a spattering of companies that we work with, from, you know, just a handful of employees to larger companies. And the ones that we're really focusing on right now, where we really can demonstrate the greatest value in the easiest way, are companies who are small but self-insured. So companies that are in the 50 to 400 employee range, and they're already looking at all of their bills of their claims data that gets sent through the insurance, and we can show them how we can wipe away some of those expenses.
And I think it's so important that, as you mentioned earlier, especially for guys, right? I mean, my wife is proactive in everything for her and for our kids, has been forever. And I always drug my foot along, till I found your office and have been more proactive over the years. I haven't listened to all your advice.
I'm just working like on my it. Kids. I've I learned know. I can't convince anyone. All I can do is tell them the information and, it's up to them.
I'm working on it. It's always working on that. But I just think it's such, in our society, that going to the doctor and getting that help has been, it's been a paradigm that's hard for guys to kind of get through, to go make that first call. I have friends of mine that they haven't been to the doctor, and they're in their 50s now. They haven't been to the doctor since they were in their 20s as they got out of college, and they haven't been in for anything. And they just deal with over-the-counter stuff. They refuse to go see a doctor. They don't get a physical. They won't get their blood screening done. They won't get anything done. And to me, that's just, I don't understand that. How you get in that space. But I know there are a lot of guys that are that way. How do you get them to come in and sit down and actually take that first step?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the relationship with the primary care physician really does help. And that's the reason why telemedicine services and urgent care clinics and things like that, they're just ineffective because you have a faceless, nameless person on the other end of the telephone on some of these teledoc things, and they don't know the context, and then you're also, somebody's paying for those services with someone that doesn't have the relationship, but it's the relationship that creates the accountability to some degree, and someone who really is thinking about your preventive health when you aren't.
Yeah, it's also being accountable. I think holding your patients and that holding them accountable and them holding themselves accountable to, the goals they have and what they want to accomplish with themselves. I know I find that in money is hard sometimes for accountability. Mm-hmm. I have to believe that it goes across in health as well.
It sure does. Yeah.
We got about a minute left in the show. Dr. Troy Burns, propartnershealthcare.com. There's all kinds of information on your website, with testimonials, how it works, FAQs, really great information, that you can find out more about this exciting new way that people are actually dealing with their healthcare. Brian, obviously with True Wealth and Company, appreciate you being a contributor to the show and enlightening us with, Dr. Troy Burns today. I've learned a lot. Hopefully the listeners have as well. And I think hopefully the healthcare industry will get more innovative as we move forward. And congratulations to you on expansion. And I grew up in the Northland, so I know that there's a lot of growth up there, and there's a lot of people that would love to have your services and not have to drive to Leawood. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
Brian, thanks for coming in today, and thanks for all you do for the show.
You're welcome.
Retirewithtrue.com. If you, you need to, what's your slogan again, Brian?
We help successful people make work optional.
That's the ticket. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show today, guys. You've been listening to the Grill Nation show. We'll see you again next week. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.